shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Bill Hendry Show as we continue our discussion this evening about Joe Biden and his comments the other night to a select group of people, I am told, most of whom were African-American. And you heard the comments. We'll play them again for you. These having to do with the Mitt Romney and what it was like, what was likely to happen if Mitt Romney were to become president of the United States. He was talking about unchaining Wall Street. That was a quote from Romney, I believe, that was being used there by the vice president, who went on to say,
look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains. He said he's going to do nothing about stopping the practice of outsourcing.
All right. So there is just a little bit of that. Turn that off. All right. So we're back here with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. We have Mavis Leonard back on the line with us as well to give a conservative perspective, although you are black.
I'm black. And still, you know, I think it is a crying shame that a black woman can't get on a radio show like your show or someone and say, I'm from Mitt Romney, and people don't even believe her. That's how backward a lot of black people are.
Phil, can I say something, lady?
Go ahead.
You can say anything you want.
Well, I, ma'am, with all due respect, you know, you're a white man. So you're going to tell me how I feel?
No, ma'am, no, I would not tell you how you feel. But, ma'am, I would say that, you know, I just see, I hate to say this, but I see a sort of a future for with Mitt Romney in the White House for black people, you know.
That lawn jockey.
Say that again.
That lawn jockey, you know.
Yeah, it's what we call lawn jockey future. We say that.
Lawn jockey future for who?
The only person going to make a lawn jockey out of my son or out of some would be Barack Obama make a lawn jockey out of
son. All right. Let's go to some phone calls here. What is the point of that crack, a lawn jockey future? What is that?
Well, Phil, I think that that's something we're talking about in the Democratic Party. If you want a lawn jockey future, that is, that's the only place a black man or a black woman going to have with a Republican in the White House is we're going to be back on a lawn. They're going to be back on a lawn with a lawn jockey. You know.
You've seen a lawn jockey.
I've seen lawn jockeys. Yeah. Yeah, the black jockey.
Yeah, the black jockey. And keep in mind, there are no black jockeys. They're Mexican black jockeys. And,
you know, some there are black jockeys, but they are Caribbean.
Yeah, that's not the same as American.
All right, well, whatever. The fact that you would call that a lawn jockey future sounds to me like, you know, a return to the antebellum days of the South. And that sounds like quite a knock on the Republican Party.
It's not a knock on the Republican Party, Phil. That's God's honest truth.
That is a lie. That is a dirty lie. That is not going to happen. I think any black person listening to broadcast tonight hear you say something like that, they are hearing a white man lie. You lying just as much as George Wallace. You lying.
No, I'd be compared to George Wallace to me is very that.
You're lying just as much as Lester Maddox. You're lying.
All right, let's not call people liars. If the man's got a point of view that isn't right, then he's got a point of view that isn't quite right. Let's take some phone calls here. 877-876-7445. Here is Paul. Go ahead, Paul. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
No, it's Art. It's Art.
Oh, it's Art. I'm sorry, Art. Go ahead.
Right. Okay, now, two things. Now, as far as Biden's metaphor, I think that the Republicans are just creating a tempest in a teapot, and they're trying to get as much mileage out of Biden's metaphor as they can, and especially in consideration of the hundreds of hateful things said by the Republicans and their representatives and previously said by them in a codified manner. And then the thing about the metaphor, as the gentleman mentioned earlier, there weren't any audible collective gasps from the audience nobody there said anything negative about it the next day in the news. At least I didn't read anything. And the people didn't have a problem with it there. The black people didn't have a problem with it. Now, all of a sudden, the hypocrisy lies in the fact that all of a sudden, the Republicans are so concerned about a perceived racial slur. The second thing I'd like to comment on is this whole thing about, well, the Republican Party did this for the blacks and the Democrats did that. Now, the truth is that there was a great flood in 1927, and the truth is that the Republican Party, they lost this luster of being the so-called Party of Lincoln when they reneged on promises to the black leaders after the great flood. The flood helped make the then Secretary of Commerce, Herbert Hoover, who was in charge of the flood relief operations, cast him into the national spotlight. It also set the stage for his election to the presidency. But what happened?
Hold on, let the man finish. Let him finish, and then we'll hear from you.
The flood, it also helped Huey Long's election to the governorship of Louisiana. Hoover was applauded for his masterful handling of the refugee camp. What happened? There was some concerns over the treatment of the blacks in those camps, and that caused him to make promises to the African-American community that he later broke, losing the black vote in his reelection campaign. And what happened, there were several reports on the situation in the refugee camps. And there was the president of Tuskegee was appointed to head a commission. His name was Robert Moulton, and he agreed to keep all that information about how the blacks were treated in the camps. They kept that out of the media at Hoover's request. And Hoover gave a pledge of further reforms for the blacks after the presidential election if he was elected. He failed to deliver. Now, after he did that, that's when the blacks, the African Americans, they shifted their allegiance from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party and Franklin Roosevelt. And this thing about the Republican Party then being the same as now, times change, people change. Political party agendas change. Nothing stays stagnant except closet racists trying to go back to turn the clock back to their forebears' days.
All right. Hold on.
Nothing but Southern pride. It's anti-woman. It's anti-non-white.
Anti-woman. I tell them, can't heal me,
anti-science,
anti-government,
anti-global warming,
anti-Christians,
anti-Christians. It's anti-civil rights, it's pro-Confederate, it's pro-Confederate,
Hello?
And they both hung up at the same time.
Great. all right. 877-876-7445. Now, so Mavis is gone. Good. So Jocelyn's back with us here. Curtain Guy, are you there?
I'm right here, Phil. I never went no place.
All right.
Phil, you know, ma'am. What amazes me.
You got that one lady come back on, right?
Yes.
In 2012, some of these black and white people hate to believe that there's still blacks that support the Republican Party and are going to be voting for Mitt Romney, okay?
This lady back on now. I thought you got her hung up on this lady.
No, this lady's back on because Mavis was back on.
We don't have to debate who we're voting for, and I don't need anybody to question what color I am. I have a birth certificate. That's more than what I can say for Obama.
All right, dear. All right, listen, I've got to take a break. Thank you for your call, 877-876-7445. Good Lord. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. We had Mavis there for a while, and Pastor William Rennick, I think, is going to be joining us in a moment, talking about Joe Biden. We're talking about the American political scene. We're talking about the continuing discussion in this country having to do with the political beliefs, systems, agendas, and so on and so forth of black people or white people. Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing as a monolithic black vote? Is there such a thing as a monolithic white vote? I probably not. Some people wish there was. Some people wish there wasn't. We'll be back with all of it here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to bring on Pastor William Renick here in a moment. Pastor Renick from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton hanging on, guys. Thank you very, very much. And I will say this, that while we've had a while you gentlemen have been, I think, the least contentious...
I'll try to see people along here, Phil.
Yeah, but you guys also lent a little bit to the controversy of the night, making statements like, you know, white people in the Democratic Party think more like black people.
Yeah, but you heard that one lady.
Yeah, you heard that one lady. She agreed with that one lady. And I believe if you listen, what was her name, Jocelyn?
Yeah, her name was Jocelyn. That people thought she was, they said that one man said she's not black. I know she's black because, do you know, I had a teacher that sounded just like her. And
you had a black teacher?
No, I did not have a black teacher. She was a white woman, but she sounded just like that. She had that voice, you know.
Yeah, they're down there smoking all them cigarettes.
Say that again.
They smoking all them cigarettes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a cigarette smoke, you know. Yeah.
All right, well, but I think that that's a... To anyone, to any conservative, whether they're black or white, to say that white Democrats think more like black people than other white people... is very, very, is a very contentious, I think it's a very inflammatory statement.
Well, yeah, it may be inflammatory, but I think maybe some people need that, you know. When I was...
Yeah, that's true.
When I was a young man, my father used to say to me, he said to me, you know, son, you should never give nobody a hot foot. You know what a hot foot, you know?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
You know that?
Yeah, I know what a hot foot is. You put a match in between their feet?
Yeah, yeah, you put the match in between the toes, you know. But my father used to say, don't ever give no one a hot foot unless they need it, you know?
Yeah, my father said the same damn thing. And
yeah, you know what I'm saying? Down south, we kind of do that. We take a common dough, you lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But except you live down south, you damn sure make a horse drink because you got a field to plow, you know?
That my papa used to say that all the time. He used to say to me, Rome wasn't built in a day, but that was the Romans. He said, we Americans, and more than that, we Southerners. And
yeah, that's right.
And so I damn sure Rome's going to get built in a day. And
Rome? What did your father say?
My father said, son, remember what the Romans say. Rome wasn't built in a day. That's because Romans was building it. But down south, you know.
Yeah, you get down south, now we put that thing up lickety-split, you know. And
now, you look at that Burger King. That was what I talked about, the Burger King. And
tell him the story.
Did I tell you the story, Phil?
No.
This is the Burger King over there in St. John. Now, this is a Caribbean island, and this was a Caribbean island that was, it is the British Caribbean, British ended, not America, you know, Virgin Island, that's what I'm trying to say, Virgin Island. Now, you have United Kingdom down there, right?
You're talking about the British Virgin Islands, as opposed to the U.S.?
Yeah,
that's exactly right, as opposed to you. Now, down at British Virgin Islands, they got themselves a Wendy's. And I know, because I know the man that owned that Wendy's, a very dear friend of mine who had been raised, born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland, but moved to the United Kingdom because he'd had a business that got started and had a branch office there. Now he's down in the Virgin Islands, he got himself a Wendy's franchise. Now, do you know from the time they laid the first brick on that Wendy's to the time they flipped their first square hamburger, how many years you think it was?
Where did you get this, Phil?
Years?
How many years?
Two?
Try four.
Yeah.
Try four.
4 years to build a...
4 years down in the British Virgin Island to build a dam. And I said to him, he said, but that's Caribbean time. I said, let me tell you what. Wait till you see our colors go to work. And I ain't saying this racist. Now, see, this not racist. I said, but you see our colors go to work in the South. Yeah.
Yeah, you put the color to work on that, you know.
See, you guys sound like a couple of Dixiecrat racists when you talk that way.
Phil, now you got to understand, did you hear what these people were saying? They're saying that the white people in the Republican Party trying to drive a wedge in a Democrat.
What are you talking about racism? Why whooping that up?
Well, what are you talking about? Wait till you see some coloreds down south do it.
Well, No. I'm sorry, Phil. You didn't understand what I said.
No, I understood entirely what you said.
What I say?
You said that there was a Wendy's that your friend was building in the British Virgin Islands. It took 4 years, but wait till you see the coloreds in the south, they put one up faster.
No, I just said a colored. See, that's the use of the word colored, you know.
You know, I know you. A lot of whites don't like that word. All right. So I say the blacks to put the what to get the blacks to put up a Wendy, you know, and I know you're saying it racist, okay? I'm not talking about black.
Yes, it's very racist. And I said, oh wow, those Caribbean blacks, man, takes them 4 years to put a Wendy's up.
But is that true? Is that a true story?
You talking to me?
Yeah,
it's a true story. I told you a true story. That's my friend Gene. And when it,
oh, that, okay, that's Gene Garber, right?
Gene Garber, right? He's not related to the pitcher. There used to be a pitcher named Gene Garber with the Atlanta Braves. This is a different Gene Garber, but although I do know the other Gene Garber, too. Now, this guy put a Wendy's up. You know, he had two Wendy's restaurants.
All right, so he built a Wendy's in the British Virgin Islands. It took him 4 years.
From the time they laid the first brick to the time they flipped the first square hamburger.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Phil?
I think it's, you know, Caribbean time. But the thing that I'm saying to you guys is, for you to say our coloreds in the States could do it faster.
No, you don't understand, no. You a northerner. You don't understand how we talk and how we feel. We don't mean keep a man down. I'm not talking about keep a man tied to a plow.
Yeah, we're not talking about using that man as a pack mule, you know.
No, he ain't no pack mule. He is just a man, you know.
Yeah, but he's the colored that gets the Wendy's built faster. Are there any white guys that build Wendy's?
Oh, yeah, look at that. We got more people. If you put the people who work down south during the construction work, we got more white trash. Let me just lay it out to you. We got the colors. We got white trash. We got all the trailer trash. We got some mountain trash. We got the poor black. We got all kinds of people we got to put to work down south. Now, you talk about how, well, I don't want to use the racial terms and so on. So I don't either, and I don't use racial terms. I'm just saying to you that if you want to get a Wendy's hamburger and you want to get a, if you're hungry, I'll tell you what. you like Wendy's, Phil?
Yeah, what do you think of Wendy's, Phil?
What
do you think of Wendy's?
It's okay.
All right. Say you're hungry for a Wendy's burger. You go down south. You go down to Caribbean. From the time they put the first brick down to the...
Yeah, to the time they flipped their first square hamburger, it was 4 years.
You got it.
All right. Point not made. 877-876-7445. We were going to get Pastor William Rennick on the line here. Is he still hanging on?
Yeah, I'm Pastor Rennick on line 3.
All right, let me get Pastor Rennick up on the line.
All right, please apologize to Pastor Rennick. I'm very, very sorry, Pastor Rennick.
Hey, Pastor?
Yeah, Phil.
And Kurt and Guy are very sorry.
I've been listening to what they've been saying. I have to tell you this much, Kurt and Guy. I think we have got a bad situation going here. I'm listening to this conversation tonight.
Yeah?
I'm listening to this conversation tonight, and I'm hearing all kinds of stupid. I'm listening to some black folks who are stupid. I'm listening to white folks who are stupid. But let me tell you this. You talk about putting a Wendy's hamburger stand up, and I'll agree with you that you can't get one built faster than you're going to build one in the United States of America, but that got nothing to do with black folk or white folk. It just got to do with America. That was my point.
No, that wasn't your point. You didn't make that point at all. You didn't make that point at all.
I was trying to make that point.
You didn't even try to make that. I heard it, what you said to Mr. Henry, and you said to this other gentleman. You said that in the Caribbean, which is where my family comes from, by the way.
I did not know that.
Well, now you do. My family is Jamaican, and my family came to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My father went to engineering school, and then we moved to Birmingham, Alabama. It was probably the biggest mistake my old man ever made in his life. He went from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and then made the biggest damn mistake he ever made and moved to Birmingham, which is kind of like going from the penthouse and saying, what's that? You got a basement-level apartment that right near the garbage so it stinks? Sure, I'll move there.
You're kidding.
No, would I kid you? You're my favorite.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-7445. We'll be back with Pastor William Rennick. More of this scintillating story about his father moving from Milwaukee to Birmingham and and the cooking of hamburgers in the Caribbean. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Cooking a burger in the Caribbean? I'm just saying, you get a damn good burger if you have a truck.
Phil Hendry.
The Phil Hendry Show. Here on the line with me is Kurt Queedy, Guy Barton, and we also have Pastor William Rennick as we continue talking here about Joe Biden, race relations in America, and so on and so forth. Pastor Rennick, I just want to give you a couple of minutes here. So you were talking with Kurt, and Kurt, you and Guy both using this term that the coloreds down south are going to get the hamburger stand built faster.
For me, that's the kind of racism. I wasn't trying to be racist. I apologize, Pastor, but I was simply using that word because that lady had called in from Louisville, Kentucky, you know.
Right. The lady in Louisville used the word, but you use it too.
Yeah, a lot of whites down south say, we're all saying that the white, the blacks in the south are going to build a Burger King or whatever.
No, not a Burger King. So it's talking about Wendy's. Talking about a Wendy's. Yeah, and that's what, that was the guy that Kurt knew. Is that right, Kurt?
Yeah, that was my friend Gene.
All right, so you know a guy who built a Burger King down in the Caribbean, and he could not build it very fast because he had Caribbean blacks. And you say the colors down south gonna build one faster. That's racism, you know. Well, I don't. He didn't mean that racist, you know.
Well, if you say the coloreds anything in America, you're racist. All right.
No, that's wrong. That is wrong.
Yeah, that is a term that is very well known to be very antiquated and extremely talk about code. That's not even code. That's just straight flat out dumb. Here is Roger on the Phil Hendry Show. Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, I just like to make a comment to the two White Castle guys. When I hear the word colored as a white American, it makes me absolutely sick. African Americans, there's such a strong sense of institutional racism in this country that when I hear African Americans talking about the election, anti-gay rights, anti-women rights, I just have to ask them, how would they feel or how did their parents feel 60 years ago when they themselves weren't allowed to eat in white-only restaurants or they themselves were fighting for civil rights? So that's basically my question.
Well, young man, I need to ask you a question, young man. You said the two White Castle. I don't know who he's talking about.
Talking to you and Kurt.
I mean, I'll have to follow the reverend. It's just been a lot of stupid on, and I don't know if you're talking about Burger King or White Castle.
I was talking about a Wendy's restaurant that a friend of mine had built in the British Virgin Islands, and he had talked
right.
that it took him 4 years to build this, and I said,
yes, no, I heard the story.
Okay, all right.
As an African American using the word colored, do you feel like that's an institutional racism coming out of your mouth? Do you feel like that brings you closer to white Americans? Does that
make you black? I am a black man. This is Reverend Rennick, and I am black, and I do not like the word colored. These two white men using that.
All right, so Kurt, you and Guy using the word colored, you understand is perceived by a great many Americans as an ignorant, racist term.
I feel I'm speaking as a Southerner, and I have to tell you, I'm offended by that. I am not a racist, okay?
Yeah, but you're using a stupid word, colored.
Yeah, I hear people say it all.
Institutional racism. It's institutional racism when Southern African Americans are using words of hate against their own people. That's the institutional racism I'm talking about.
Did you say you was gay? Did you say he was gay?
No, I'm not gay. I stand up. I'm a virtuous man, and I believe that everyone that lives in this country, this great country of America, deserves the same rights as the runaway Nazis or the white blue hairs that are pulling the strings, the same people that are making you use the word colored. Those are the rights I'm talking about.
How are you using the word color? That was Guy Barton.
We've got a one white guy here. Guy, you're white.
That's Brett, yeah.
He sounds a little black.
Well, I sound a little black because I've been around black people my whole life. And
you've been around black people enough. When you use the word colored, this gentleman here, I don't know why you brought up gay rights, though. See, you're not gay.
I'm talking about African Americans who fought for their own civil rights. During this election, there's been a divide on President Obama supporting gay American rights, gay and lesbian rights. And when I hear African Americans, now it's not all African Americans, but I do hear African Americans talking badly about this great president. It makes me sick because I can only think about their own struggles.
This is Kirk Wheatley, I should say. Young man, you're not gay. So I don't understand what the issue is, you know.
No, well, it has to
be.
What do
you mean,
why
does he have to be gay?
The young man is not gay, so I would agree with that.
No, why does he have to be? I agree with this man. I agree with Roger. I'm not gay, but I'm sick and tired of seeing people's rights denied them because of a certain type of orientation, color, etc.
You can't say that around black people because they'll go ape on you, you know.
When they were being hung from trees 50 years ago, why did they care about other Americans' rights? They have to worry about their own rights in this racist country.
Now I don't know what he's saying. You know, I thought you was for gay rights. Now you ain't for gay rights.
I am for gay rights. I am not homosexual, rights.
You said you was against it though because the black folks got enough to worry about.
When I hear African Americans speak derogatory terms of hate towards any other ethnic or sexual race or group, it makes me sick because I think about this country, America, 60, 70 years ago with the Jim Crow laws forbidding African Americans to eat in white diners. So I'm asking you, sir.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm asking you, as an African American, or as a Southerner who has seen racism firsthand, I'm sure. How do you feel living in a country where racism is still allowed to be spoken and hate is clouding the issues at hand? That's what I'm asking.
I don't agree. I can't agree with you saying that black folks should not have to get their hands dirty. I don't think black folks should have to get their hands dirty with the gay thing. But
why would they speak badly about President Obama, our first African American president, which is amazing, which I never thought I would see in my lifetime? Why would another African American speak badly against an African American president or against any other minority group? That is what
I agree with you. Sir, I'm a black man. I'll tell you, I agree with you. I think Barack Obama, I didn't think he'd ever get elected. I can tell you this. I was on Phil Henry program, and I was on the Phil Henry show before the election. I said, There's no way that Barack Obama is going to get elected. And when he did get elected, I said, by God, that man, he deserves it. And I agree with you that the black folks in this country have got so much to deal with that the gay, man, they got to get in line. You know, I ain't got no time for that right now.
And what is that supposed to mean?
That's what this man's saying.
No, are you for or against? I'm sorry. Are you for or against homosexual rights? That's what I'm asking you.
Am I for or against homosexual rights? Right now, sir, I got my hands filled trying to get the Mexicans and trying to get the women and trying to get the blacks. And you know that. We've got these people who are, disabled. I got more people in wheelchair. If I was a congressman, I got people in wheelchair. Now you ask me about what? About a gay? I don't know.
Any minority group deserves the same rights as the white Americans in this country.
Well, that's a very good point, but you know something, young man? I would echo what my friend Kurt Quiddy just said, and that is this, that the way they're talking, swear to God, 90% of everybody in America gay. You know what I'm saying? Because they're gay, man. Every time I turn around at one of these, what was the place the other day?
Yeah, you talk about Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A? I thought the place was crawling with them.
Yes, because they have the same rights. They have the same rights as you to eat disgusting fast food. They get to walk into any disgusting fast food restaurant and eat the same food and the same tables that you yourself are eating at.
And I would agree with that young man. Chick-fil-A is a long-standing Southern institution, and I would love to see all people have an opportunity. I walk into a Chick-fil-A, I try to get a bag of them chicken sandwich. And I got gays. Man, they're home.
Are you black or are you white? Are you black or white?
I'm a black man. Here's the thing. I'm a black man. Mr. Botton is white, and Mr. Queedy is white. Mr. Henry, I'm the only black man on the line here.
Right, right. Okay. And Bert and Kurt. But all three of them, Roger, are Southerners, and I think that's...
We all probably talk a little bit of that corn pone, but I would say this. When I go to Chick-fil-A, and I got a guy standing in front of me in them little tidy white, he got the little tight shorts, and he's kissing his boyfriend, what do you ask me to do?
Well, maybe he hates you for being African-American. Maybe he's disgusted
that
by looking an African-American.
That doesn't make sense. That don't make any sense.
What? Why doesn't that make sense to you? You're disgusted by looking at him.
Well, there's all kinds of black folks doing all kinds of great things, but I don't see gays hitting home runs.
What do you mean you don't see any gay? God, unreal.
This is unbelievable.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
You're telling me that living in Southern America as a black African male, that you are surprised that anyone would be disgusted to see you? That's what you're telling me.
Because the South has changed, my friend. The South changed. I go down to Atlanta. That's the black
Mecca.
It
has not changed at all.
Atlanta's a black Mecca.
They have
and I go down to Atlanta.
Americans to hate themselves.
I'll tell you what.
And to hate other
I wouldn't go to heaven on a round-trip ticket. I tell you, I love Atlanta. I wouldn't go to heaven on a round-trip ticket. I love Atlanta. I go down to the Falcon game, everything. But let me tell you something. All the black folks in Atlanta, they're hitting home runs, scoring a touchdown. He's the mayor. They named the damn airport. But a gay guy, I ain't seen him score a touchdown lately.
You know what? You sound like an idiot, Pastor. You really do. He sounds like an imbecile. I put him on hold. I got to take a break, Roger. You made your case very well, Roger, and I agree with you. And I thank you very much, sir. I had to put the pastor on because now he sounds just like a blithering idiot. Oh, we're scoring home runs and knocking. I don't see any gay guys doing that. I wouldn't go to heaven on a round trip ticket. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Pastor William Rennick, Kurt Queedy, Guy Barton. And more of your phone calls here on The Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, look, there's some of our Southern friends right there.
It's The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show with Kurt Queedy, Guy Barton, and Pastor William Rennick. Let's get to another phone call here. And on the line with us is Mark. Let's get Mark on the line. Hey, Mark, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Kurt, Pastor Rennick.
Yes.
Good, how are you doing?
We're doing okay. Hello?
So go ahead, Mark. What do you want to say, man?
Yes, I want to say something about... The guy, which y'all talking about?
Is this the gentleman who's a security guard?
Yes, he is.
You want now?
You are a security guard, sir. Mr. Henry told me you were a security guard. Hello?
What happened to the guy? You there? Oh, he hung up. All right. What are you going to do?
I don't know. You said that man's a security guard?
I thought he was, and...
He might be mentally retarded. Never can tell.
No, he was a security guard. And I wanted to hear his story because security guards working late at night, they're always listening to talk radio.
I've known a lot of guys as security guards, and I always say, you listen to this guy's show, this and that guy's show. I've never known anybody that worked as a security guard had any brains, you know. See, that, to me, that sounds really racist. Why is that racist?
does that sound like a man who looking down his nose at a man who has a job, you know, that doesn't pay him a lot of money?
Why do you think that racist?
Because I think there are a lot of black people. No, there are not a lot of black people. Most people that are security guards at night are dumb whites. You know, right there, that's racist.
Why would you say that?
Well, who's talking?
Phil Hendry, the host of the show. Why would you say that?
Everybody know that most of the security guards are not. What do you mean, why would I say that? Everybody know most of the security guards are not a dumb white.
I know out there there are dumb whites. I understand that. But I don't think the majority of them.
I think I got to agree with Pastor Renick. Most of your security guards are dumb white. A lot of them. And most of them have brain damage or some kind of brain injury, you know.
Yeah. Are you telling me that my brother is missing part of his brain?
No, you know he is.
All right, hold on. Nobody can talk if this is a personal thing between you guys.
Well, this is something that Kurt had brought up before. You told my brother, and you say he's missing part of his head.
All I'm saying is his brother went into a goalpost as a young man playing football over here at Aberdeen High School in West Charleston, okay?
Okay, you're talking about who?
I'm talking about my brother.
I'm talking about Kurt's brother.
He's talking about my brother, Don.
Okay.
All right.
And he, a young man, played fullback over here at West Aberdeen High School. And they had a big game, Saturday night game, Friday night, I forget what it is.
It was a Friday night game, they played in Dundee. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Okay. And he took the ball, and there was a very big play, and they had to score, and they did score. And I remember West Aberdeen there.
Yeah, they won the league that year, not that.
Yes, they did. They won the league. I forget the name of the league at the time.
It was Pioneer League.
Pioneer League. But his brother won't score the winning touchdown. So what happened, though, is the young man took the ball. He played fullback. He went right through the line, and he went head first in a goalpost. Now, the goalpost in those days, his brother older than him, was at the front of the goal line.
I remember.
You remember them days?
Yeah. I'm a little bit older maybe than you guys. Yes.
All right. The goalpost at the front of the line, and his brother took the ball, and he went headfirst into the goalpost. It split the helmet, so it just made garbage out of Don's head. You know.
Yeah, they had his head. You can imagine that, Phil.
Split his helmet.
That's right.
Yeah, split the helmet.
I've heard of that before. You have?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that before. Yeah, especially if you're playing around these old ballparks, they got the brick wall around the field. You're gonna bust your head wide open on that.
Yeah.
And so what happened was. His head, the helmet went wide open on the goalpost, though, see? Nobody understand that. We tried to sue the helmet manufacturer.
Yeah, we'd have none of it?
No, they wouldn't have none of it, because I figured Riddell, you know, but it wasn't Riddell. It was like, I forget the name of the company, but it was a very small southern company, something like a football helmet company or something like that.
Yeah, that was probably Bob. Coleman's company, because he supplied all the high school.
Wait. Hold on. Your brother went into a goalpost head first. This whole discussion came out of what? It came out of the belief that most security guards at night are white because they're brain damaged?
Yeah, it came out of because my brother wound up being a security guard, and that's what guys are talking about, and I think it is very unfair. That was coming this Pastor Reddick. Yes, Pastor. Look, I don't think guys being unfair so much as being realistic. If you look at 99.9% of security guard at night, they're all white men. And they're all dumber than a handful of clay, you know, a handful of Georgia clay. You know, so...
Well, that's a pretty interesting comment, especially when you're... Look at, you know, there's a lot of opinions about security guards, especially guys that are working at night. But may I remind you that there are companies that hire them, and they don't... You know, companies are not used to just giving their money away. It's not a charity job. It's not the Goodwill.
It was for Kurt's brother.
No, it was not for my brother, okay? That's what I resent more than anything else, because he went head first into this goalpost still. And can I tell the story?
You're missing the point.
No, I'm going to tell the story. Hold on for a minute.
Let him tell the story.
My brother went head first into a goalpost, split the helmet wide open, made hell out of his head, like a hot mess out of his head, you know? And they carried him off the field, and they asked him this and that. And he had that line out of Requiem for a Heavyweight. You know, they said to him, "Where are you?" He goes, "I'm in Pittsburgh, and it's raining."
That's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life.
Yeah, but if you ever saw Requiem for a Heavyweight, you wouldn't laugh. Very sad.
Yeah,
That's pretty funny. He's down in Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He was quoting, that's a line from Requiem for a Heavyweight. Yeah, that is sad. Very sad.
Yeah, they said, where are you, Don? They said, I'm in Pittsburgh and it's raining.
Yeah, he's in West Charleston. I love that.
Why don't you have a little bit of compassion? So what happened to your brother?
Well, he started a company. They had a business machine company, converted to computers. He made billions, you know. And
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But he did start out as a security guard.
Was he brain damaged?
Well, they thought he was until he started making all this money. That, my God, my brother Don, brain damaged. Compared to him, the rest of us is brain damaged.
And they figured he wasn't brain damaged. They figured the whole rest of the family brain damaged. And that's when they said, well, why don't you all take up football, put on that football helmet, Company of America football helmet, and drive your head right into the nearest brick wall, and maybe you people be as rich as him someday.
Yeah, that's what they said. That's what the judge said in the lawsuit. You know, we sued that helmet company.
That's the dumbest ass. That's what I'm talking about, Phil.
So why did you get upset when he said that your brother worked in a security guard?
Because he's trying to say my brother dumb. My brother not dumb. My brother's he's worth billions. That's the goofiest story I ever heard in my life.
I can't follow it. All right, we'll be back. Thank you, gentlemen. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That it? I got way more to say.
So that's it for me.
Phil Hendry.